This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now your host, his favorite football player was Steve Young. He's my dad, Brandon Burton.
Welcome to the Chamber Chat Podcast. I'm Brandon Burton, your host, and you are joining us today for episode 96 of Chamber Chat Podcast. Our guest today is Matt Mayhood, who is the president and CEO of what the local media calls the Silicon Valley's flagship business lobby, which is the Silicon Valley Organization. He's been the president and CEO there at the SVO since July of 2011. The SVO, formerly the San Jose Silicon Valley Chamber of Commerce, has re-engineered its scope of work to focus all efforts around regional economic development. Matt has increased member value and community relevance by becoming a leader in the regional discussions of key issues that impact the business community's ability to attract and attain talented workforce while growing their business. With his leadership, the SVO has become the region's connector, convener, collaborator, and champion on issues that affect business and the community's prosperity. No stranger to taking charge, Matt has also pushed the SVO into the workforce development space, launching Strive San Jose. Strive San Jose convenes the education sector, business, and government to help create, guide, and influence the talent pipeline to ensure a talented workforce that will allow their businesses to continue to innovate and grow. Matt's extensive background as an executive in business operations spans over three decades in both the for and nonprofit sectors. His business career began at UPS, later joining FedEx, Bax Global, and Webvan.com in various management level positions focused on operations, customer service, sales, human resources, marketing, and general management. He previously served as the president and CEO of the Sacramento Metro Chamber, my hometown, for nearly a decade, helping to spearhead the efforts with the mayor's office to retain the Kings in Sacramento, being named Executive of the Year by Western Association of Chamber Executives. Matt is a California native and has a deep passion for ensuring that California remains the economic engine of the United States. He earned his bachelor's in business administration and organizational communication and public relations from Cal State University, East Bay. I'm excited and grateful to have Matt with us today on Chamber Chat Podcast to talk a little bit more about the talent and workforce development in their area as we talk about building a pathway to college or career. And we will get into this discussion as soon as we get back from this brief message. Every chamber is looking for new ways to increase their non-dues revenue. Has your chamber found a good affinity program? I have a great affinity program to offer your chamber that will continue to increase in revenue year after year. I want to introduce you to SwipeIt for all of your credit card processing needs. SwipeIt has a unique affinity program that 1. Lowers your credit card processing fees at the chamber, 2. Helps your chamber members be more profitable, and 3. Provides recurring non-dues revenue to your chamber. To learn more, please visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc for credit card. Again, chamberchatpodcast.com/cc and get swiping with SwipeIt. All right, Matt, we are back. Thank you for joining us today here on the Chamber Chat Podcast. If you would take a moment to say hello to all the chamber champions that are out there listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Well, hello, Brandon, and hello, Chamber Champions. It's great to be with you today. Something interesting about myself is I'm actually 6'7" tall, and which puts me on the tall side. I'm fairly slender. And the interesting thing is I was always a better baseball player than a basketball player. And I always get the question, you know, hey, did you play basketball? And unfortunately, I didn't pick up a basketball until really late. So I did not play basketball. I played a little bit of baseball, but even that I wasn't good enough to go too far in. But that's the one thing that's interesting about me.
Yeah. I mean, you can always say, yes, you played basketball. It's just a matter of what level, you know, if it was in somebody's driveway or in the NBA, who knows, you know,
I never made it really out of the driveway.
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about the SVO. Give us a little more perspective as to where you're coming from as we get into this discussion today, maybe the size, location, budget, things like that, just so we know where you're coming from.
Yeah. Thank you for that. You know, Silicon Valley organization. We are located in downtown San Jose. San Jose is the 10th largest city in the United States. A lot of people don't know that, but we do have a population in San Jose of just over 1 million people. We're located in Santa Clara County, where we have about 2.5 million residents in Santa Clara County, which is really the center of Silicon Valley, which is a huge economic driver for not just the state of California, but the United States and the globe, really the world's capital of innovation. And we are the Chamber of Commerce. We're a regional organization. Pre-COVID, our total staff level was about 18 folks, and our budget in 2020 was planned to be about $4.5 million. A lot of that has changed in the COVID, post-COVID world, smaller staff, smaller budget, as we've kind of repositioned ourselves to match kind of the economic reality that's happening to many small businesses here. We do a lot of networking events. We do the community development work. We do economic development, business retention, expansion work. We do some work in the startup space. We do a ton of advocacy. That is probably our strength at the city and the county level on a pro-business advocacy standpoint. And you think, oh, that doesn't need to happen in Silicon Valley. Well, it does. And that's probably the strength of our work, that and workforce development.
That's right. So you'd mentioned being there in the Santa Clara area, and just being a California native myself, I grew up as a huge 49er fan. In fact, the introduction to this episode, my son Brody introduced the show talking about how my favorite player was Steve Young. So I did a little research about the Silicon Valley organization and saw that you guys rightly have the 49ers as a member of your organization. So kudos to you. That's good there. Thanks for sharing.
The San Francisco 49ers are a great member, as are the San Jose Sharks and the Golden State Warriors. And as the San Jose Earthquakes, our local MLS team. So we're proud to have all of them as members of our organization.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you guys definitely sit there in a prime, I guess you can say, real estate location, as you talked about kind of being in the center of the economic world, you know, not just in your community, but in the world economic scope. So with that, we'll transition a little bit into more of the discussion for our topic today, which is building a pathway to career or college. So you guys are in that kind of hot zone, economically speaking, have a lot of great companies that are members of your organization that lead to some good partnerships, I imagine, and I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about that. But tell us a little bit about, well, I guess let me back up. In your introduction, as I went through your bio, I'd mentioned the Strive San Jose. So I know the Strive San Jose kind of helped, you know, bring the education sector and business and government together to help the youth in the school districts in your area. So if you would tell us a little bit about that program and kind of the roots as to what the need was and how that came to be.
Yeah. So back in about 2014, I had been here for a couple years, and we had had a workforce and education committee, a workforce development and education committee. And we were doing a lot of work trying to shape local policy and county and state policies around education and trying to figure out, you know, how we can move the needle to prepare kids to be ready to work in Silicon Valley. And we really found the effort to be kind of slow moving and not getting a lot of satisfaction from our effort. So a couple of our members challenged us to say, what could you do differently to really impact the youth in the greater San Jose area? And the reason they were challenging us is because in Silicon Valley, we have created incredible wealth through these tech companies that have just been hugely successful on a global scale. We have people from all over the world coming to work here, coming to live here. But there are portions of our community, especially in San Jose, especially on the east side of San Jose, where we've left these kids behind. They just have not been getting the education and the skills they need to be successful in really this technology and innovation ecosystem. So we were challenged to figure out, you know, how do we address this? At the same time, the mayor of San Jose, Mayor Sam Liccardo, was convening some folks around trying to figure out how do you really impact youth who are having a negative experience because they're growing up in gang impacted neighborhoods or they're growing up in poverty and they just don't have a way out. So we started partnering, and there was the mayor put together a task force that looked at this issue and things that we could do. At the same time, the SBO, we were working on putting together this program that became called Strive San Jose and was really coming out of Eastside Union High School District and figuring out how do we create literally a pathway for students to either college or career. And we started building this partnership out with the school district at the same time being challenged by the mayor to kind of come together. And so we put together this program that included internships for students, career days, teacher externships so they could get out into the workplace and see what skills kids are going to need. We've done all kinds of speaker panels. We taught kids how to do interviewing skills, taught them how to build LinkedIn profiles, and taught them about financial literacy. And we started the program really in 2016 when it came together. And we've been going strong for about 5 years now.
All right. So I know across the country, I mean, a lot of chambers do these, you know, workforce and talent development to try to keep the workforce base there in their community. And I think you alluded to, as you're given that explanation, that it seems like there's a pretty wide gap with the extreme wealth that's created there with some of these tech companies versus some of these youth that are, you know, in these neighborhoods that may gravitate more towards gangs than trying to get into technology and that. So it ends up being a large gap. So as you were explaining that, it sounds like it's more than just trying to keep talent in the area, but really trying to find a path to be able to help these youth, you know, kind of see a way for their future.
The mayor coined a term early on in the process that he said, let's build resumes, not rap sheets.
Yeah.
And that really took hold. And what really happened over the course of time is we focused in a partnership with the school district and with the city that really stepped up. So we created this private-public partnership. And then the SBO, we brought our business members to the table too. So what we've created is this opportunity for these kids to engage with potential employers down the road. And since the program started, we've engaged over 4,000 underserved youth with local employers. And of these 4,000 kids, 77% of them live in close proximity or in a gang hotspot. And 23% of them live in high poverty areas. Additionally, 50% of the students come from a Latino, Latinx background, and 35% of them are Asian Pacific Islander. So you're looking at a community that is probably underrepresented in technology and the innovation economy. And we've been able to connect those kids through internships, through these work-based learning experiences, to really show them a pathway that if they continue their education, they can find their way out and get an opportunity either immediately into, you know, a manufacturing job here in Silicon Valley, or they can go on to college and get the education they need to come back and work in Silicon Valley.
So how did this look as you started? It sounded like the mayor was on board and was, it sounds like a good driver of this initiative, but how did you go about getting in with the school districts and the business community as well to kind of connect everybody?
Well, we have a great superintendent of our school district who had a great vision. He had been sitting on our workforce education policy committee and was part of the conversation and said, you know, I think I can find some funding to help seed this program. And the mayor's office, through their efforts, said, I think we can find some funding to pay for some internships. So the school district stepped up, helped pay for a staff member to work at the SBO. The city started creating a pot of money where we could pay these kids through internships and through a foundation that the city had. And our job at the chamber was to take the staff person and be the connector. And we invited our members to the table to create internship opportunities for these kids. So we started with a 6-week summer internship program, getting local employers to create these internships. The city paid the students to be in the internships, so it cost the employer nothing. And the school district was just creating the pipeline and the access for us to get into the kids and get into that the pool of kids who are interested, whether they're in career tech ed or they were just in a identified as being in a gang hot spot. And so we kind of, it's kind of this mix, unusual mix of kids, but we started our first year with only 41 internships. By the next year, we went to 178 internships. And by year three, we're at 186 internships. And by then we'd also got two other school districts involved as well.
That's awesome. So that kind of shows how they get into the internships and into the businesses. And I imagine some of those internships kind of sprout the ideas of this is, I'd like to go to college to be able to further my career path with a company like this. Is that where a lot of the conversations come up as far as, you know, directing towards college? Is it through the internship or is it something that's going on at the school district by getting them involved with the program?
So the two parts are some of these kids are coming from career tech ed pipelines. So they're already having an idea that they're going to go to college, but they're not specific as to what they want to go do. And the others are really kids that are being challenged who are really have no direction. They're not even sure they're going to graduate from high school. So it's kind of this interesting mix and this blend of kids that we bring into the program. And based on their interest, we match them with potential internships. And they go through an interview process. The potential companies interview these kids. And every kid is offered an internship. It just depends where that certain employer is going to offer them a job. And we have like a 95% satisfaction rate from the kids and the same level of satisfaction from our employers. So very high satisfaction rate from both the employer side and from the intern side saying it was a good match. The main industries tend to be healthcare, construction, technology, manufacturing, and finance and accounting. So we put those kids in the programs, but before we even put them in the program, we teach them some soft skills. One, so they know how to interview, so they better know how to communicate in a professional environment, so they know how to dress. We also give them a little bit of financial literacy, so they know what to do with their money once they get paid.
That's awesome. So is that something where you're going into the schools to help them with the interview with the soft skills you're talking about?
Yeah, we do these big giant career fairs, and we do these seminars with the kids. And we've taken all the, one time we took all the kids over to SAP Center where the San Jose Sharks play. We were hosted by the Sharks and put on a job fair one day. Another day we took all the kids, a couple busloads of the kids over to the LinkedIn campus, and they all got professional profile photos taken and got their LinkedIn profiles. It's probably better than my LinkedIn profile.
I love it.
But great, getting these employers involved and really building these new partnerships, it's really been wonderful. And these kids get to see what it's like, you know, walking into places, you know, these technology employers or just even a construction company, and understanding what's it like to show up every day. Now, yeah. With that said, during COVID, all of this changed. And this last year, we had to take our program into a virtual format. Mm-hmm. So we actually ended up doing virtual internships this summer. And it allowed actually a different kind of employer to get involved, because there is liability when you're putting a minor into the workplace. So there's, you know, liability agreements and insurance and all of those things. But because we don't have these minors going into the workplace and their work is being done virtually now, it's actually allowed us to get into more technology companies. And this summer, Cisco really stepped up and took, I think, about 25 interns this year to really expand the program and do the program virtually. And we had a lot of success with them, and we're able to get more kids into the technology industry than previously.
That is neat. Hearing how that shift was able to really kind of amplify, rather than take a step backwards necessarily, you're able to amplify and look for the opportunity through that. I was going to ask what it's like as you try to attract new businesses to participate in this program. I can just see, you know, we're going to take these youth from these, you know, gang infested neighborhoods, and we want them to do an internship at your business. I know that's not how you approach it, but being able to show the 95% satisfaction, both on the intern and the business, I think it speaks volumes for the success of it. But how do you go about trying to attract new businesses to participate in the internship program?
Through a lot of outreach. And that's why we have two people on staff within our foundation. And I should have mentioned this earlier, but we do this work through our foundation side because it's easier to attract funding into the 501c3. That way we can get the school district to fund the program through that. We're able to fundraise to pay for additional staff people who help support the program from the private sector. But those staff members do outreach throughout the year, trying to recruit new employers. I do outreach. Other staff people on our team do outreach. And we give testimonials from other employers who have been involved, as well as testimonials from the students, so they can say, this is what it was like from my eyes and what my experience was like. And I will tell you that by the time we get these kids, at least when we were doing this in person, my favorite day was the interview day, when we would bring 100 employers out to interview 150 kids or 200 kids, depending on how many we had in the program that year. And I'd watch all these kids show up to interview day, and they'd be in their best clothes, hair cut, you know, groomed, looking sharp, and them sitting down with these employers. It literally makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up because I can see the impact that we're having. And yeah. It's such a positive experience. And our employers say, you know, these kids come in, they're eager, they're willing. These are kids who are trying to find a better life for themselves. And it actually makes a difference. So it feels really good from a chamber side to know that we're having a positive impact.
Yeah, as you're describing that, I'm visualizing in my head, you know, about 200 youth showing up, kind of nervous, you know, putting themselves together the best they can. And I see them in my mind's eye leaving with a sense of confidence, you know, that they were able to present themselves and hopefully landed a, an internship with a company that can really help put them on track for a brighter future. That is neat. Is there anything that I'm missing in the program that you want to make sure that you touch on before we start wrapping up here? I don't want to cut anything short.
No, I think I gave you a high level overview of the program.
Yes.
There's a lot of blocking and tackling that takes place behind the scenes to make this thing work. And, it really is a partnership between the school district, the city of San Jose, and our organization. And, we're the driver behind it. But if we didn't have a mayor who was willing to help fund the program, if we didn't have a school district who had enough vision to actually help us implement it, none of this would happen. So it really takes people coming together collaboratively on this private-public effort to put it together. And it's not always smooth. There's a little bit of, tension at times, but we always work through it for, really with the focused goal on mind to try to build this pathway for kids to either career or to college. And we don't get to make that choice. They get to make the choice for them. But it's definitely rewarding work.
Absolutely. I love being able to talk to different chamber leaders throughout the country, and especially when it comes to topics like this, being able to help youth see kind of a glimpse of their potential and what their future could look like, and be able to help put them in a path to find that, I think is very commendable, and appreciate the work that you guys are doing there. And I hope that as other chamber champions are out there listening, that they're able to take some kind of nugget, some kind of piece of our discussion today. And maybe it's just looking at their community through a different lens and seeing where the needs are. And maybe they already have a workforce and talent development program at their organization, but maybe there's things that they can tweak to better serve the youth or the businesses or the whole. So I appreciate you sharing everything that you've shared with us today. I would like to ask, kind of based on our discussion, if there is one piece of advice that you would put out there for chamber champion that's listening that they can do to help take their chamber up to the next level.
Well, I think that the challenge and what this program came out of a couple of our board members and a couple of our committee members who challenged us to think differently about how we were trying to solve a problem. We continue to do policy work in the education space, but it's very difficult. It's very challenging. It takes a lot of time to implement change there. And what we answered the call to do was to think about it differently and actually put a program in place that could actually put our money where our mouth is and get us into the school district and actually making a difference. So I would encourage other chamber execs to think about some of the challenges that they're facing in their community and how you could address them differently and really make an impact. And, it doesn't have to be 100 kids. It could be 10 kids in your community. It could start small. And our program started small. It got big. And then, we've had to reshape it and resize it over the course of the last 5 years. And it's continuing to evolve and morph. But being able to look at old problems in a new way and just innovate, do something different and take the chance. And you don't have to do it all yourself. You need partners. So that's what I'd encourage chamber execs to do. And you don't have to do it all yourself. Look for partners who can help you. And you don't have to take all the credit. We don't take all the credit for this program. We pass a lot of credit to the mayor's office. We pass a lot of credit to the school district because it works together when we're all working together.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. And I was wondering, so right now we're in this state of new normal, right? Hopefully soon enough, we can get back to our old normal somewhat. And would you see with the internship programs, would you see a virtual component sticking even once we get back to normal and can be, you know, around people in a more normal sense. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, we actually have thought about it because one of the challenges that we faced with this internship program was the transportation component of getting kids from their home to the employer, you know, several days a week over the, when they were doing the 6-week summer internship program. Typically we got them transit passes, or kids would have other ways of getting around. And they had to figure that out. But by going virtually, we eliminated that problem. That allowed us to have kids not have to worry about the transit challenges. So it's allowed us to expand the number of companies that can get involved. And so it's opened up the region a little bit more, creating more opportunities throughout the region for more employers to get involved, because we don't have to worry about kids driving or being bused to a work location. So we do see a component of this moving forward.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I hadn't even thought of that component of it with the travel issue with the dealing with high school age kids.
It removed that the liability issue of having minors in the workplace. That was a challenge for some of our employers. So yeah. It removed that liability challenge as well.
Yeah. So a question I like to ask everybody that I have on the podcast is, we're all always looking to the future in regards to Chambers. So as you look to the future, how do you see Chambers of Commerce and their purpose going forward?
Well, that's a tough question given the new reality of, you know, COVID and, you know, when are we going to come out of this? But I honestly see our role now is more important than ever, trying to get our communities back to work. And how do we deal with the pathogen? How do we mitigate risk? How do we safely reopen our economy, getting people back to work safely, having customers come into the workplace safely? There's an opportunity for Chambers to take a leadership role in here, working with their city, working with their county, working with their state, to be that advocate and to be the connector between the private sector and the public sector. So there's a great role in that space of economic development right now. But there's also a lot of financial challenges on Chambers. You know, a lot of our members are struggling, small businesses are struggling, they may or may not be able to renew their membership. So those are some of the financial challenges. So I would be encouraging Chambers to partner with other chambers to really try to come together with their chamber that's next to them and the city next to them or the county next to them, and really try to build partnerships to show strength and alignment as you move forward.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good vision of the immediate future of the chamber, of kind of the chamber industry and what we need to be looking at. And I think you're absolutely right that the chambers will play a key role in being able to help open back up. And even if it has to be from an educational standpoint, if chambers can kind of bond together and tell their governor that, look, we'll be responsible for educating the businesses on how to safely reopen. I could see that as being a real viable application. But Matt, I wanted to thank you for spending time with us here today. And if anyone listening wanted to reach out and connect with you about how you're doing things there at the Silicon Valley organization or about anything you covered in this discussion today, what would be the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
The best way, honestly, is probably by email right now, because I'm working virtually some days, and I'm working from the office some days. So the best way to reach me is probably via email. And my email address is mattm@thesbo.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me, I think.
All right. I will put that in our show notes for this episode, which will be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode 96. But Matt, I think you've shared a great example of today with us of a great partnership between your city and school district and the business community. And I hope that everybody listening was able to take some tips and nuggets out of this that you can apply to your own communities. Going along with my whole goal of this podcast to introduce you to people and ideas to help you better serve your members and community. So thank you, Matt. I really appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure. Happy to do it.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry. As a podcast listener and as a chamber leader, have you considered the benefits that podcasting could have for your chamber? This is what I like to call the podcast pivot. If you're like many chambers, you're always looking for ways to provide non-involvement value to your member investors. Many chambers are finding that podcasting is a great solution. A podcast platform becomes a media arm for your organization that builds trust in your community, tells the stories about your members as well as your advocacy efforts, and becomes a valuable, tangible asset for non-dues revenue. If you'd like to see if podcasting is a good fit for your chamber, visit chamberchatpodcast.com/pivot to learn more and to gain access to our free chamber podcasting guide. Again, this is found at chamberchatpodcast.com/pivot.